Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this first Sunday of Advent, and we have Bishop Bradley with us. Bishop Bradley, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis, and good morning to all of our listeners on this beautiful day.
And wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving that we've been through, and now this great first Sunday of Advent is here, and we also have Vicki Cessna with us. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
And so we'll be reading the scriptures that are at Mass this weekend and this Sunday, this very Sunday. And we encourage you all to go to Mass, of course, and this beginning of this new year. And it's really this preparation for Christmas, and we're only 24 days away, so we're a little bit early this year. So we encourage all of you to try to make it to Mass today. So as we start our readings, the readings of the Word, and of course you got to go to Mass in order to enjoy the liturgy of the Eucharist, as we hope, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that too today. So Vicki, you want to go ahead and get us started?
Absolutely. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths." For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise a sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our psalm reading today is Psalm 122, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9. I probably just could have said 1 through 9, but there it is, Psalm 122. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
I rejoice because they said to me, "We will go up to the house of the Lord." And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity, to its tribes go up the tribes of the Lord.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. In it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May peace be within your walls, prosperity in your buildings.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, "Peace be with you." Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pray for your good.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Show us, Lord, your love and grant us your salvation.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The gospel reading is taken from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings here today. Bishop, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you, Deacon Louis. It's good to be with you.
Any thoughts on the scriptures or anything that's going on in the diocese? Or
well, first of all, you just, at the beginning of the program, you wished us all a happy Thanksgiving that we just celebrated a few days ago.
Indeed.
I'd like to take this occasion to wish everyone a happy New Year.
And everybody's not really ready to hear that yet, but...
Today, the first Sunday of Advent, thanks for that help with my comment there, Deacon Louis, because the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of a new liturgical year.
Yes.
So this is a New Year's for the church.
Yes.
I mean, obviously we celebrate New Year's along with everybody else in another month or so, on January 1st, which is for us in our liturgical calendar, the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Mm-hmm. But today, it is, in a sense, a Happy New Year, a beginning of a new liturgical year. And that last Sunday, we, of course, celebrated the Feast of Christ the King. It's mm-hmm. the conclusion of a liturgical year. A liturgical year is it's the whole cycle of the celebration of our faith. So it begins again with Advent, in which we as a people go through that same process of looking forward to, as the people of old did, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But we also hear in the readings today that there's another dimension to that looking forward to. It's not just reminding ourselves that Jesus did come into the world on Christmas, which is what we celebrate with that great event. It's much more than Santa Claus and the secular side of celebration. It's the celebration of a major liturgical moment, the greatest, one of the greatest moments, when the Son of God became flesh and Amen. Made his dwelling among us. So Advent represents these 4 weeks, or 24 days, as you mentioned,
yes.
Kind of a shortened time. This period of time that the people in the world longed for generations for the coming of the Messiah. Little did they expect that it would be as a little baby.
Yeah.
But we know from faith that's exactly what happened. And so we begin a whole new liturgical year, the unfolding of all of the mysteries of our salvation that we'll celebrate consistently throughout these next 52 weeks through Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, back mm-hmm. to Ordinary Time,
right.
Lent, and Easter, and yes. all of the different liturgical seasons. So it's the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful new year.
Yes, and I think it's beautiful in a certain way, too, where it's, you know, the church is kind of a little bit ahead of the secular world, you know, with the January 1st. But there are really two different worlds. That's why we encourage people to go to Mass, to go to church, because to take a break mm-hmm. away from this, the craziness of the world, and enter into this world of Jesus Christ and this new year this new beginning. And what's it going to be like for me? You know, lots of people make New Year's resolutions, right, Bishop? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a way of looking at that in a very spiritual, very powerful way. And who am I going to follow? Who do I follow today?
Mm-hmm.
My job, you know, money, what size house I got, you know, all these things. Or, and do I find any peace in that? You know, and it's very beautiful. Wonderful time of the year.
It is.
It really is.
It's a time for new beginnings. You alluded Amen. To New Year's resolutions. That's one of the things that I think is very appropriate for us to be thinking about. As we begin a new church year, you know, probably in a few weeks, that's what will be on everybody's mind, mm-hmm. New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. But how are we going to enter into this new year, this new liturgical year,
right.
Differently than perhaps we've done in the past? Are we a little more thoughtful, a little more aware of, a little more conscious that, as you say, the world in which we live has different understanding, values, principles,
right.
than what Jesus has come to teach us how to live? Are we living them more faithfully? So what are the resolutions that we could each make on this New Year's Day,
yes.
The beginning of a new liturgical year, on how we might choose to live our lives differently, with more faith? And I think a key element that we hear so clearly in the readings today, with that virtue of hope, that is kind of lacking in the world around us right now.
Yeah, so it's a it really becomes. I also think about the Advent wreath too. You know, as we're slowly lighting these candles, you know, we talk about how the light gets a little bit brighter. The light gets a little bit brighter. But I think about also, you know, people often talk about religion in kind of a negative connotation. But to be religious, to be devoted, to think a little bit outside of the box of the world, to enter into that, the peace, and all heading towards what? It's heading, God makes himself in a baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, you know, as families gathered this last Thursday, you know, there were probably a few babies in the room, you know, to think about that,
yeah.
You know? But that's what God is, that's how God is communicating to us. And how do I communicate back to that? Something that simple, you know?
Well, and I think it's also, this is the time of the year when that anxiety button gets pushed, mm-hmm. and people
yes.
tend to just become very anxious about a lot of different things. And yet, you know, the readings that we hear talk about, you know, just trying to be more forward-looking, not just thinking about what do I have to get done today or tomorrow. To your point, Deacon Louis, why are we doing the yeah. things that we do? And so I think it's with that whole sense of trying to find peace and joy in the midst of the busyness and the craziness of it all.
Yeah, and I think sometimes too people will say, and of course we've seen this in the church too, the battle against the world, the battle against evil. And for us to think that, you know, we wouldn't have to deal with that, because we have dealt with it, and it's been heartbreaking. But we deal with it in our own families. We have problems in our own families. So what do we do? Do we run away from our whole family? Do I, you know, in a sense, throw the baby out with the bathwater? No, we can't do that. The church has always struggled with problems, always battled in a certain way against sin and the world. So another reason why the church starts has its own type of year, mm-hmm. has its own liturgical rhythm and growth and how things go. So, you know, my brothers and sisters, you know, if you've been away from the church for a long time, there's no one more, and that's why the bishop is on here once a month, no one who would want to see you come back more to the church than the bishop would, and of course, Jesus Christ.
You mentioned about the Advent wreath. I'm going to ask yes. Vicki, have you Could you say something about an Advent wreath or other family kinds of customs for Advent?
I love the Advent wreath. It's where we light one candle each of the four Sundays of Advent. And, of course, there's three that are purple and one that is rose for Gaudete Sunday, which symbolizes joy. But Deacon Louis mentioned that it's a beautiful way to have a little prayer service with your family. Or whatever that your family consists of, and to really focus yourself on the importance of the season. I know when I was growing up, my mom made a Jesse tree. This is like a thing that I've just been talking to people about, and they're like, they had no idea what it is. And it's a neat way to show the lineage of Jesus, which is neat because this is what, of course, the Isaiah and the prophecies, and it's just little ornaments we made. So I think now is the time to start those. I'm not crafty, so I've never made a Jesse tree.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get the one my mom made. But anyway, I think there's a lot of neat traditions. We just actually, in our diocese, we published Southwest Michigan Catholic, and we have a nice feature coming up for those who receive it, and it's also on our website, just kind of going over some of the different Advent traditions that families can adopt, whether that's going, you know, to Our Lady of Guadalupe Mass on December 12th.
That's right.
Even participating in a Las Posadas, which is really popular with our Hispanic brothers and sisters. So
anyway. Nice.
Yeah, there's just a wealth of ways that you can really focus. And as the readings, the word that popped out at me was be awake.
Yes.
And the youngsters, the young slang is when someone is woke, they're in tune to the issues of the day. They're not, like young adult slang. I don't know if you've heard that, woke.
Yeah.
So to be awake for us as Catholics and Christians is to be awake into our faith during Advent. So.
And in a certain way, it can kind of say that maybe we've been sleeping a little bit too. So we're being awoken again, once again, by the church to ask us, you know, to come home.
Well, St. Paul comes right out and tells us that in the second reading today when he says, you know the time, it's the hour for you to awake from sleep, for our salvation now is nearer than it was when we first believed. And then he goes on to continue to make those comparisons between darkness and light. You know, darkness is, I think we all know what it's like to be in the dark. None of us likes to be in the dark. But sometimes, if we're not doing what we should be doing, we'd like to be in the dark so nobody knows about it. And that's really a kind of an image for sin.
Yes.
I mean, if we're really very public about what we're doing, hopefully it's not sinful. It's not awful deeds. We tend to do those in the shadows and in the darkness. So Jesus came to dispel the darkness. Jesus came to be the light of the world, so that when we live in Christ, you know, hopefully darkness, sin, is gone. Or at least we try to put it aside as much as possible and to live in the light, to live in Christ. So Jesus says the same thing, I think, in the gospel when he tells us, you know, about the two people out in the field or the two women that are grinding meal. When the end of the world comes, one will be taken, one will be left. And he says, stay awake, therefore, because you don't know the hour where the Son of Man will come. So that's not meant to be scary. It's not meant for us to be, you know, living in fear. In fact, it's just the opposite. If we're prepared, if we're living in the light, if we're following Jesus, then what is there to be afraid of? You know, amen. If the day of the Lord comes, hey, all right.
Absolutely.
You know, now it's time to go home and be with God forever in heaven. So, absolutely. I mean, I know that we all have a little bit more of a concern about passing from one world into the mm-hmm. next, but it's nothing to be fearful of. It's nothing to worry about, nothing yes. to sit and twiddle, you know, worry, twiddle our thumbs.
Right, right. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley, as well as Vicki Cessna, the Director of Communications here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we encourage you to go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org, as well as holyfamilyradio.net. Our radio program is archived there if you'd like to listen to it later on. So I'll just continue on. We got about another 10 minutes. Bishop, anything, or Vicki, anything you'd like to talk about, including the scriptures? We can continue on with waking people up. Since the program's on early in the morning, of course, we're waking people up, encouraging you to go to Mass. But
well, you mentioned about the, and I think you made reference also, Vicki, to Isaiah the prophet. We hear a lot from Isaiah mm-hmm. During the season of Advent, and you know, the Old Testament prophets really did consciously have their people. You know, if we go back in history, mm-hmm. the Old Testament, of course, took place before Christ. So the Old Testament prophets were thinking about when would the Messiah come and mm-hmm. what would that day be like? And it was going to be a whole new day,
yes.
a whole different time. And the problems, the difficulties, the sufferings, because the Old Testament people, the people of Israel, went through great sufferings, a lot that brought on by their own sinfulness and,
yes.
and abandoning their practice of their faith for periods of time
mm-hmm.
That caused them to be living in problems. But the prophets kept saying to them, don't give up. Don't
right.
give up hope, because there's a new day coming.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what we heard in the reading today. It's one of the most beautiful passages in all of the Old Testament. But when the day of the Lord will come, he shall judge between the nations, impose terms on many peoples. They, the people, shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. I mean, what a beautiful image to be thinking about. At some point in the future, we won't experience war. We won't experience violence. You know, if people truly love one another,
right.
then there's no need to do that.
Yes.
So but right now it's a prophecy, you know, and it's a
yeah.
hope.
That's right.
Even though the Messiah did come, Jesus did come. And yet we still experience this because we're still dealing with sin. We're still dealing with the effects of sin.
Yes.
So now we, as a kind of a new people, look forward to the second coming of Christ. And when he comes, that'll be the end of the world as we know it. But it's the beginning of a whole new day. And so therefore we need to be awake, mm-hmm. alert, prepared.
And this prophecy also, as you're saying, Bishop, you know, can be fulfilled in a certain way when, as members of the church, we reject sin. We don't follow sin. We don't stay in the darkness. And so some of this, you know, people will always say, well, it sure would be nice if there wasn't any more war. Well, there's a certain kind of war going on inside of us. Maybe there's a war going on inside your family. These things can be addressed depending on
mm-hmm.
reception of the sacraments. Have you been baptized? Do you go to Mass? Mm. Do you say you're sorry for your sins? Do you reject the things of this world? These are things that we have to ask ourselves too. So absolutely, Bishop. So we can, in a certain way, the fulfillment of that prophecy. Catechism is beautiful on exactly what you just said. Mm. What the Catechism says on this is that in a certain way, we can battle against this.
Mm-hmm.
We can bring on this beautiful thing of no more war.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's more to what we're supposed to do than just be awake, you know,
yes.
sit around and kind of, the season of Advent, of course, is calling us to be people who are patiently waiting for what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, my own Episcopal motto, my motto for, mm-hmm. For my role as a bishop, each bishop chooses a particular motto to try to live by according to their ministry, and mine is waiting in joyful hope. Uh-huh. It really is an Advent theme. When I was asked to be a bishop, it was during the season of Advent, so that's really one of
beautiful.
The reasons why, you know, this motto seemed particularly appropriate for me. But really, when we think about it, even though liturgically we celebrate Advent for only 4 weeks, sometimes not even four complete weeks, all of our life is really like an Advent.
Yes.
Because we're, throughout our life, we're waiting joyfully for what is still to come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean we just sit around and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother would always say to me, don't just sit there, go do something. So, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing too. We're not just
Amen.
Waiting in this world. Okay, Lord, is it going to be today that you come, or maybe next week? Or, well, the Lord has come. Jesus has come.
Yes.
He's already here. He's given us, as you say, he's won the victory.
Yes.
You know, the victory over sin and death. Jesus has already accomplished it. We're supposed to be advancing that mission.
Amen.
We're supposed to be continuing to build that kingdom. And so we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
Our work is never going to be complete as long as there's anybody suffering in this world, as long as there's anybody hungry in this world, as long as there's anybody treated with violence in this world. You know, we've got work to do to undo all that. And that's within our power with the grace of God.
Absolutely. So we just have a couple of minutes left. And anything, Vicki, you want to say? Any final words, Bishop?
Well, I was just going to say, Bishop mentioned Happy New Year and resolutions. Mm-hmm. And there's so much richness in the readings that one thing you might consider doing is immersing yourself in the daily readings. That
yes.
might be one resolution. We do that. I know as a staff, we often gather and read the readings during
nice.
Advent and talk about them just to start your day off.
Yes.
And you'll see those, you know, those themes, those, you know, be reminded of the importance of the season.
Absolutely.
When that's how you start your day.
Absolutely. So just about a minute and a half left. Bishop Bradley, do you have anything? Final words and a blessing for us?
Well, as we enter into this new church year and the season of Advent, this time of waiting, this time of hopefulness, I think we also have many, many responsibilities that we have to do, tasks that await us. But if we can do that in the spirit of great hope and joy, I think, you know, we'll have a wonderful and blessed Christmas, and that's something that we can all look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, of course, is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, and I'll be remembering everybody from my visit to Rome for that week. And as we enter into this season of Advent, we pray that God's blessings will be upon us and keep us all in his loving care. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you, Bishop Bradley. Very much. Happy Advent, everyone. God bless you, and we love you.